Join me as we look to God in prayer. Father, we ask and pray for your presence to be in this place. Let the Holy Spirit come, Lord, speak to us this morning, bring conviction in our hearts, and Lord, bring the transformation that is needed in Jesus' name. Amen. We are midway through the season of Lent, and Lent is a season where we reflect, repent, and we renew our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is in preparation for the glorious celebration on Easter Sunday as we celebrate his resurrection. And this morning, we examine the passage from Luke chapter 13, and we'll reflect on the true meaning of repentance and the importance of fruitfulness. The text in Luke 13 begins with a group of people describing to Jesus the tragedy that had just taken place. And we were told that some Galilean worshippers were being massacred. In verse 1, those who were present told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So for reasons unknown to us, these Galilean worshippers were brutally massacred by Pontius Pilate. And to add to their insult, the blood of these worshippers were mixed with the blood of the animals that they had just sacrificed. As the people gathered around Jesus, it was likely that they had asked Jesus if the death of these Galileans were related to their sins. Hence the response in verse 2 by our Lord, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" It was common in those days for people to believe that when a tragedy or accident happens, it was a result of the person's sins. And the greater their sin, the more severe their suffering or the tragedy. Remember in Job, in the Old Testament, when his good friends came to Job, instead of counseling him, they insisted that his suffering was a result of his sin. In fact, in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, even the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ ask, "Who sinned for this man to be born blind, himself or his parents?" They had believed that suffering was directly related to sinfulness. My friends, regardless of the degree of sins and regardless of how many sins we have committed or the seriousness of the offense, sin, whether big or small, is still sin in the eyes of God. And sin ultimately separates us from our Father in heaven. A story was told of two soldiers who appeared in the same military court after the end of World War II. One was charged for the brutal killing of prisoners of war, and the second was charged for killing a fellow soldier after some dispute. Both were eventually found guilty, and both were sentenced to death. The second soldier was appalled by the judgment, and so he protested strongly. The sentence was unfair to him in comparison to the first soldier who took so many innocent lives, whereas he had just ended one life. The judge upheld the decision and said, "Son, regardless of one or many, no one has the right to commit this kind of crime, to take the life of another, and when you do, you have to pay the price, and the price is death." We too, my dear friends, because of our sin, regardless of the magnitude, regardless of the size, regardless of the seriousness, we too had to pay the price. Citing his second example, Jesus said, "Those 18 of whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who live in Jerusalem?" Verse 4. So relating to a disaster that had happened in Siloam, where the tower of a building had collapsed and crushed the lives of these 18 people, Jesus again pointed out that it was not the sin of these people that resulted in their deaths. As we continue to examine the text in Luke 13 more closely, you realize that the people who had gathered around our Lord were asking the wrong question the whole time. Instead of asking how bad a sin would lead to death, which the answer will be an obvious yes, regardless, they should be asking, what will save us from eternal life? What will save us from eternal life? The answer is found in our Lord's response to the people in verses 3 and 5. And twice he said to them and to us, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Notice how Jesus presented his argument to the people. We are all sinners and no one stands guiltless before God. We all deserve punishment. We all deserve death. However, God is not going to kill us when we commit sin. But that does not mean that he will not judge. So understand this important truth. Sin separates us from God. We are condemned by sin, and we will face the consequences of sin unless, Jesus said, we repent. It was for this reason that Jesus Christ came. Our Lord came, sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. And because Christ paid the penalty of our sin, we can now experience salvation and we can receive the promise of eternal life in Christ. And that, my friends, is what we celebrate and it's what we rejoice when we come to Easter Sunday. But you need to know that true repentance is not just a one-time verbal confession or a decision to follow Christ, but a lifelong journey of being transformed in Christ. Some liberal theologians of hyper grace have suggested that repentance is a once-off event where we profess our belief in Jesus Christ, and therefore the righteousness of Christ has been imputed in us, and we are therefore forever secure. It's like buying an insurance policy where you're guaranteed for life. But Scripture tells us that true repentance is more than that. The Greek word for repent in verses 3 and 5 is the root word for metamorphosis, which means transformation. Repent in Greek means a process of transformation, a process of change in our mind, in our attitude, in our thoughts, in our moral, in our values, and our behaviors, according to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture. And in order that we may live right with God. Bible scholars have also noticed from the grammar and the verb of the Greek text, repent, that Jesus had mentioned two kinds of repentance in verses 3 and 5. In verse 5, he described a one-time repentance. In verse 3, he described the continual repentance. Repentance is what we verbally express at the point of our conversion when we say we believe our Lord Jesus Christ. And repentance is also a continuous process of being transformed to be more Christ-like. My friends, without true repentance, believing alone is empty. Without true repentance, believing alone is empty. We can believe in Jesus, but have no change in our hearts and in our lives. And so we see in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the good news at the first Pentecost, the crowd were cut to their hearts. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They were cut to their hearts because when they heard the gospel being preached, they realized how sinful a life they have been living. And when they heard the gospel being preached, they realized they have to be more like Christ. They have to live right with God. And that, my friends, is true repentance. We need a broken and contrite heart to acknowledge that we have sinned against God and in order to live right with God. True repentance is important. True repentance is what that will eventually lead us to spiritual fruitfulness. Verse 6. Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. If not, you can cut it down." Here Jesus told a parable. Parable about a man who had just planted a fig tree in his vineyard, but the fig tree would not bear fruit for 3 years. The metaphor of fig tree not bearing fruit was often used by prophets to describe the nation Israel in the Old Testament. But here, I believe the metaphor can be used to describe the Jews and at the same time reminds us of our relationship with God. Fruitfulness is used by writers throughout the Bible to describe the produce of our spiritual lives. And clearly, fruitfulness is not just a good idea. Fruitfulness is God's idea. And our Father in heaven is the master gardener, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the vine, in John chapter 15. And he desires for us, the branches, to bear fruits. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." John chapter 15, verse 5. And as branches that cling to the vine, we are clinging on to Jesus to draw life from him that we may grow and bear fruit. That is the desire of God. That's the desire of our Lord for every believer of Jesus Christ, to bear fruit in this broken and fallen world. So like the owner of the vineyard, our Lord too expects us, his believers, to bear spiritual fruits. Let me illustrate this way. If you, imagine with me, you, each one of you, you are owner of a plantation and you planted your favorite fruit trees, whatever that may be, what will be the one thing that you hope to see during harvest season? Trees full of nothing? I'm sure, I'm looking at the generation of people like me, probably will be thinking, trees full of durians. None of us will plant and expect to have nothing, no results during harvest. Likewise, in the same way, our Lord desires fruitfulness from us, my friends. He desires that we be fruitful, but not just any kind of fruits, but spiritual fruits that comes with true repentance. When asked, why is it that so few men finish well? Jim Downing, one of the founders of Navigators, responded, "They learn the possibility of being fruitful without being pure. They begin to believe that purity doesn't matter. Eventually, they become like trees rotting inside and are eventually toppled by a storm." My friends, fruitfulness can be puffed up and repentance fake. Man-made, cover up with facades that makes us look good on the outside, but absolutely empty on the inside. And the time has come for us in this season of renewal and revival for us to get real with God. We need to be transformed by the Holy Spirit from the inside out with true repentance so that we may bear much spiritual fruits. And now allow me to just bring everything that we'll talk about together. Repentance is about us turning back to God, and it's a process of transformation for us to conform to God's will and to conform to His teaching. And with a broken and contrite heart, we can approach each day with the help of the Holy Spirit to bring about the changes in our lives that are needed. We desire to be more like Christ, but often we struggle because we do not allow the Holy Spirit to bring this change that's so needed. I want to encourage us, my friends, in this season of Lent, to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to do this renovation work in us and through us. And when true repentance takes place in our lives, it leads to fruit bearings of fruitfulness. St. Paul tells us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 24. And on the other hand, if we stubbornly reject the transformation works of the Holy Spirit, we will have to continue to struggle with all the undesirable consequences. Paul tells us again in Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. Friends, as we look at the list on the screen, what are the things we are still struggling with? And Paul continues to say, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, we have been warned. We have been warned by Scripture. And we need to repent to bear much fruits. I want to leave you with three things to ponder in this season of Lent as we are called to fruitfulness. Firstly, cultivate fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is not just something that happens on its own. Just imagine with me, if today you decide to plant something, you buy some seeds on your way home, and then you put the seed into the pot. If you're going to leave it as it is, nothing is going to happen. Maybe something will, but nothing much will happen unless we cultivate the seed, the plant that is in the pot. We can learn from the vine dresser in verse 8. And he said to his master, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. And what the vine dresser is basically saying, allow me to cultivate this plant. Allow me to dig around it, around the soil, loosen the soil, let me water it, and let me remove the weeds when they are, and let me fertilize the soil. And when that happens, my friends, we will see fruitfulness. And so unless we cultivate fruitfulness in our lives, we will become trees that are rotting inside, and we will eventually be toppled by a storm. And to cultivate fruitfulness in our lives, we need to make time, we need to invest to cultivate fruitfulness. Cell group is a place where you can cultivate fruitfulness. Cell group is a place that we can grow together in spiritual maturity. And for those who have yet to join a cell group, I want to strongly encourage you in this season. Please contact the church. We are prepared, and we will be ready and more than happy to serve you, to help you to connect to an existing cell group, a place where you can cultivate fruitfulness. We have also designed CE courses for our members to grow in intimacy with Christ and to find out more about the Scripture and to grow, to hear God's voice as well. So I was surprised that very few have signed up for the Hearing God's Voice course that is coming up, and we have one of the most gifted and God-fearing instructor in town, a fellow Anglican from St. John's and Margaret's. I want to encourage you, my friends, Courses like this are designed to help us to cultivate fruitfulness. And so if you have not, please sign up soon. But we need to be careful, my friends. We need to be careful because fruitfulness is not busyness. Busyness in church ministry is not spiritual fruitfulness. We can be so busy with our church ministry, but we can have no relationship and no intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be doing well in our church ministry, we can be flourishing, but yet, my dear friends, not growing spiritually. We need to prioritize our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to cultivate and we need to build this relationship if we have not. And one of the things that we have done in this season of Lent is to prepare this Lent meditation for you so that you can actually take time to spend time to read through God's Word and to spend time to meditate and to really dig deep that we may grow closer with our Lord Jesus Christ. You have not picked up this Lent meditation booklet, just invite you to go to our website. Please download it, use it. And we have still a couple of weeks more to go before Resurrection Sunday. You will certainly benefit much from it. Lastly, fruitfulness is about finishing well. Finishing well as a faithful and as a fruitful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day will come when our Lord will return to judge the living and the dead. And when He comes, He will not be concerned with how much wealth we have accumulated or how much we have achieved on this side of eternity. But rather, He's going to be concerned about how we have been faithful and fruitful. And Jesus said this, "This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." John chapter 15, verse 8. Jesus has invited us, my dear friends, to repent and to be fruitful so that we may show ourselves to be His disciples. Please join me as we look to God in prayer. Lord, we come before You this morning with a broken and contrite heart, aware of our sins, Lord, and aware of our weakness. We want to repent. And so, Lord, have mercy on us. And, O God, according to Your steadfast love, according to Your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity. Cleanse us from our sins. And, Lord, please renovate our hearts with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we earnestly pray, please bring about this deep transformation of our lives that's so needed by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that as we look to You, we want to finish well for Your glory. And so help us, Lord, we pray. And all this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you.